We open the scriptures together this morning to Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1. The text for the morning will be the verses 3 through 5, and the title is Giving Thanks for One Another. Reading now the first 11 verses 1 through 11 of Philippians chapter 1, God's Word. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet or fitting for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with all the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. We ask that the Holy Spirit not only reverence God's Word in our hearts, but that He work in our hearts its power. Verses 3 through 5. Let's read those again. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Thanksgiving to God is a theme that the Apostle Paul dwells on and makes really the heart of every one of his epistles. Thanksgiving to God was something that lived in the inspired Apostle Paul's heart. He was a thankful man to God. He tells Timothy that he is thankful always for Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ had done for him, who was before a blasphemer and a murderer and a persecutor of the church. So that in his inspired epistles, even when he brings to us those beautiful, deep doctrines of God's mighty grace, he's always giving thanks to God. And suddenly, as he explains, these doctrines will break forth. But thanks be unto God. He can't contemplate anything about God or salvation without his heart becoming thankful to God. And when he, in these epistles, teaches us the Christian life and the life that flows from those doctrines, then he also, when he sees faith, expresses his thankfulness to God. We may say that his epistles are epistles on the grateful Christian life. The Apostle Paul also gives us those three ingredients that belong to true thanksgiving. Those three ingredients, you will remember, are first of all the word always. Thanksgiving to God is always. Philippians 5 verse 20. Giving thanks to God always for all things. Thanksgiving is not a piecemeal. It's not an interrupted thing, but it must be part and parcel of every day of our lives. The second thing he teaches us is that thanksgiving must be in everything. In everything, he says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The will of God who has saved you is that in all things, both what you call good, what we call good or evil, that we give thanks to God. And then he tells us, number three, thanksgiving is always, thanksgiving is in everything, and he tells us the reason for that. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Our thankful life is for His abundant grace and for the purpose of showing the glory of God. And so we celebrated Thanksgiving Day, and we heard the call, come, ye thankful people, come. Each one of us, in our own lives, we are called of God to express praise and thanks, for God is so good and so faithful. We thanked Him, not on that day only, but every day, for His abundant mercy, for His unbreakable love, for His faithfulness, for His loving kindness, for His compassions, which fail not. We said on that day, our souls, Lord, are full. Our hearts are assured. We belong to Jesus Christ. Our hands have more than we can hold of the blessings of the things of this life. We gave Him thanks, and that's very important. We're very concerned with our physical heart. We know that if there's a blockage in the artery, we will feel that. We want the doctors to put in a stent or even a bypass. But what about our spiritual hearts? Does the blood of thankfulness flow in our hearts this morning to God? Or do we have clogged arteries that need the stent of God's grace, need the working of God, that they beat, that in my life, your life, we beat with thanks? But the one thing now that the Apostle Paul, the teacher of the life of gratitude, the one thing that the Apostle Paul more frequently thanks God for in his epistles is for people, is for one another, is for the congregation. In all of his epistles, 13 epistles, to churches and individuals, in all 13 epistles, with one exception, the book of Galatians, he begins those epistles with a prayer of thanksgiving for the church or for the person to whom he is writing. In each one of them, Romans 1 verse 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Very similar to our text, that your faith is spoken of throughout all the world. In 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, I thank my God, this troubled church, I thank my God on your behalf for the grace of God that is given to you in Jesus Christ. When he's speaking to individuals, Timothy and Titus and Philemon, he says to them these words, very similar in all of those epistles, I thank my God without ceasing, as I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. At the top of the list of thankful of things to give thanks for, at Paul's top of Paul's list was one another, was people, and the congregation. We give thanks for the people in front of you, the people behind you, the people alongside of you, the people you see, for one another. When we see or remember each other, there is not to be a thud in our hearts, But Paul says, we must give thanks to God for each other. Did we think of that? On Thanksgiving Day, did we think, and today, when we think of thankfulness, do we think of provisions that God has given, abundant, and He has? Do we think also, upon more reflection, that in this world in which we live, we are so thankful as the church that we may know that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, ruling over all things as we see the Antichrist arising? But do we thank God for each other, for one another? Are we thankful for one another? Of all the things that God has given, there is none more important than the body of Christ. Of all the things that we enjoy, none are more important than fellowship in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the church, we have the most important thing that God has given to us in 2022. One another. Our fellow saints. Let's look for a few moments then this morning on this text. Thanksgiving for one another. And we want to see the reason that we are to thank God for one another. The expression, how we do that. And finally, our individual and united response to this Word of God. Paul says that every time he thought and remembered this church at Philippi, there was a beep in his heart, like you watched the monitor in the hospital room. Every time he thought of Philippi, there was a beep. Every time in his memory, when he saw their faces, when he recalled their deeds and words, his heart was moved to give thanks to God. The apostle is writing this epistle from Rome. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon are the prison epistles during his first Roman imprisonment. And so it has been at least 10 years that Paul had been personally in Philippi. He had only been there one time in his second missionary journey, and that for a short period of time. But even though it had been 10 years, whenever he thought of them, he remembered them with praise of God in his heart. You remember, Acts chapter 16 is the record of the birthing of the church in Philippi, and the birthing of the church of Philippi as every congregation, if we have eyes to see it. But certainly the birthing of this church was simply filled with the marvelous grace of God. You recall that at that time Paul had no intentions of going to Greece, that he wanted to go in different directions to north and south, but the Holy Spirit forbade him till finally he received the vision of the Macedonian man, the man from Greece, come over and help us. He was directed, the Word of God was directed as an arrow right to this city. And he came to Philippi and he found that group of women at the riverside in prayer, and he preached the gospel, and immediately that wonderful grace of God, we read, Lydia, who was listening to him, her heart was opened by God and she believed that gospel. The church started in her house. There was that girl, you remember, children, who began to follow in Philippi, the streets of Philippi, Paul and Silas, possessed with a demon, until at last Paul cast the demon out of her. And then Paul and Silas were beaten in the streets and thrown into the jail in Philippi, when in the middle of the night, at midnight, singing praises to God, there's an earthquake. The Philippian jailer comes in trembling. And this man, this rough man who would bounce heads together, this man cries out, what must I do to be saved? It was birthed by grace. And Paul, as you fathers have been in a delivery room, Paul was in the room. when this church was established. And his time there was brief, but a bond, a tender, lifelong bond was left in the apostle. This is all for our instruction and how we are to be in this congregation. The apostle says, verse 7, even as it is meet, fitting for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. He loved them. He missed them. Verse 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this had been precipitated to the Apostle Paul from the Philippians. Again, of all the congregations that we read of, it was especially Philippi who showed a care for the Apostle Paul, that even after he left them, they would send him care packages before FedEx. The Philippians were already doing this, sending packages of support ahead for the Apostle Paul. And at this point, even after 10 years, the Apostle Paul now is 800 miles away from them. They haven't seen him for 10 years, 800 miles away, and he's in the Roman imprisonment. And this church sends, as Paul talks about in the epistle, this man called Epaphroditus, a member of Philippi, and they send him to Rome with a gift for the Apostle Paul. So there was a very close and loving bond. But be that as it is, that was wonderful. We must not think that, therefore, well, this is easy. This is a no-brainer. Of course, they love him. He loves them. They're very thankful. But it's not always that way. No. It was not easy here. It was not easy for the Apostle Paul because he had a flesh no different than yours and mine. And it was not easy for this church either because this church was no different from ours, from you and me. We think of the church at Corinth to which Paul gave thanks and we say, wow, that was a church filled with division. That was a church filled with sin. That was a church that oozed with pride. But it wasn't, maybe it wasn't on the surface as much in Philippi. But Philippi was not perfect. There is no perfect church. There is no congregation where pride is absent, where sinful attitudes aren't to be found, where there's not clash of personality. And in this epistle, you will remember with me, if you think about this epistle, that chapter 2 of this epistle is the classic text inspired by Paul on humility. Let this mind be in you, he says in chapter 2, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's calling them to this profound humility. And the verses 2 3 and 4 of the second chapter, he says to them, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Now, when you're being exhorted to do this, there's obviously a reason behind the exhortation. You need to be like-minded. You need to have the same love. You must not have a party love, he says. You must be of one accord, one purpose, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. The apostle is not speaking out of the air. He's not speaking theoretically, but they in Philippi needed to hear those words. Esteem your fellow church member better than yourself, because by nature we are proud. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This emphasis on humility was needed because these believers that Paul so dearly loved and loved him, they loved him, were no different than you and myself. And perhaps you know that in chapter 4, the apostle is going to return and speak of a specific instance of two women in that congregation and others who were at odds. We understand the difficulty of being thankful for each other. The Apostle Paul understood the difficulty in his flesh of being thankful for others. That's why he's praying about it. We are carnal. We are sinful. We like some in the church and we dislike others. We can be very envious and jealous of each other, even spiritually, when we see the Lord granting peace and prosperity where our way is hard and troubled. We put people into categories. We form our opinion from a distance. We remember things from our school days. The weaknesses and sins of each other are embedded in our memory. We readily gossip. We speak negatively. We backbite. We miscommunicate. We can be uncharitable in our thoughts and responses. We must not think that Paul did not have the same flesh as we do. We must not think that the Philippian church was not perfect. And we know ourselves. And yet Paul, when he thinks of them, is so thankful. Is this hypocritical? No. Why? Well, there's three reasons that we find in the text, and they are all spiritual. The work of grace in Paul's heart. The first is, he's thankful for this church. It's on the surface here. He's thankful because this church and this congregation as well is God's work. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And then he continues in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. What Paul saw on the first day there in Lydia and every day there was God's work. It could only be God's work. There was no other explanation for it. It was God's work through the gospel and by the Spirit that brought these people together. Paul saw, not theoretically, that it's God's work to build the church. He saw it concretely right there in Philippi, that when the gospel came, it came with power and grace in their lives. And he saw that. He witnessed that. And as he thinks of them, he's also convinced that this is going to continue to be the case. Verse 6, after our text, he says, I'm confident of this very thing. What are you confident of, Paul? That he, God, who has begun the good work in you, is God's work, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Paul saw that God made the church. Paul saw that God was in that church with His Word and Spirit, and that God would preserve that church and keep that church even unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw God's grace in them, imperfect saints. And so we see the grace of God in each other as the reason of our thanks. We don't pick who the members of the church are. God does. We don't assign a personality type necessary to fit in, an economic status. a color of skin. We don't assign a certain mannerism, a certain appearance. God makes the church out of us sinners. When we look horizontal, it becomes difficult. But we will never see the church if we look horizontal. We must look vertical. And we must see that grace of God to me. And then when we see that, we begin to see that grace of God in each other. But there was another reason for his thankfulness. That reason is given in verse 5, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." He was thankful for the church because of the fellowship in the gospel, that he had with that church from the first day and even 10 years later. What is fellowship? We're going to have a cup of coffee. But just having a cup of coffee and a cookie is not, it can be, but it's not necessarily fellowship. We have people of common age, married or unmarried. We have people of similar experiences. That can be fellowship, but it cannot be. It is fellowship, what are the words? In the gospel. The word fellowship means participation. Participation in the gospel of the glorious grace of God in Christ. Gospel means good news. The good news of the gospel. The good news of what God has done in the cross and in the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation from sin and death to the grace of Jesus Christ. The good news of the removal of the guilt of our sins and an inheritance in Christ. From the first day, says Paul, I was thankful for you because I felt that fellowship of the gospel. It was in the gospel. It was not a fellowship that was social. In other words, Paul says, I didn't borrow the playbook of the world when I came to organize churches and consulted the marketing firms. And how do you get people to bond? How do you get people to hang together? I did not consult the world. I brought the gospel. I did not bring an activity to the congregation called the Amazing Race. I called them to believe in amazing grace. Lydia's whose heart the Lord opened. It was not natural. It was not something that we have in common. Do we have a lot in common? Yes, we do. It's not that. It is not that. When there is no peace in the world, no matter whatever we would have in common, but there is peace in Jesus Christ. And that fellowship was tangible. I mean to say, children, it was something you could feel and see. It was concrete. And that fellowship was concrete in two ways: suffering and service. Verse 7. Even as it is meet, it's proper for me to think this of you all, to be thankful for you, as he means, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, in prison, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. The Apostle Paul means there that God had given him the grace to suffer for the truth and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's not boasting, but God gave him that grace to be bound. And God gave him that grace to nevertheless defend and confirm the gospel and to continue preaching, even though it brought the suffering and the hatred of the world. And he sees in the Philippians, he sees that they are partakers of that same grace, that they are, by God's grace, ready and willing to take the reproach of Christ upon them and not trying to evade it in this world. Our fellowship in Christ is that by grace we suffer together for Him. On the job, in college, before the world wants to divide us, the world wants to bring its pressures upon us to ease off on our confession of Jesus Christ, to begin to negotiate. But our fellowship is that grace whereby we suffer. And Paul says, I am so thankful for this. When I see this grace, this true grace in you. And then you know also from the New Testament that the bond of fellowship is not only suffering for Christ, but it's suffering also in the will of God. So that we taste the fellowship that is in Christ. It's tangible to us when we go through suffering, when we go through cancer, when we go through the death of our loved ones, when we go through trials, struggles, heartaches. It's tangible when we suffer together. And it's tangible also in serving. What made Paul thankful for this fellowship was he saw this fellowship that the Philippians had such a servant heart. And he felt their fellowship and he's thankful for them in their servant heart. And he commends them in this epistle a number of times for their servant attitude of serving him and serving each other. And I referred to Epaphroditus. And if you read chapter 2, that member of the church that they had sent to Paul 800 miles to Rome. Paul writes back to them in this epistle to thank them for that. And he wants them to know that Epaphroditus, in performing his mission to bring that to him, became very sick, almost unto death. And Paul feared that he was going to die. And that would be a great sorrow to him. This man was ready to give his life for Paul. What is fellowship in the gospel? It is to lay down our lives for one another. This is why he's thankful. Every time he thinks of them or of a member, he saw God's grace. They weren't perfect. They could be petty. He saw God's grace. He saw their fellowship in the gospel of Christ. Are we thankful for one another? Now, how did Paul express this? Well, very plainly, he told them. He's writing a letter to tell them this. So that's plain. But the point of the text is that he expressed this in his prayers. Always I thank my God, verse 3, upon every remembrance of you. Well, how do you do that, Paul? Always. Okay. In every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy, I express my thanksgiving for you in my prayers to God. That's how. And this should not be surprising us. And this is instructive for us in our prayer life. It should not surprise us. It certainly should not surprise us because we are the heirs of the wonderful Heidelberg Catechism that we have heard preached many a time. And the children here too, Lord's Day 45, that part of the second part of gratitude, first the commandments and then a life of prayer. The question is, what is the chief part of thankfulness? What is the chief way that you show, that I show thankfulness to God? The answer is prayer. Prayer. What is the chief way, then, that we express our thankfulness to God for one another? What's the chief way we will do that? Remembering one another in prayer. Now notice how the inspired apostle says it. There's a chain here. I thank God on every remembrance of you. So he remembered them. Then he says that remembrance led always in every prayer of mine, making request. So the prayer was a specific type of prayer. It was intercessory prayer for them. And then he says, with joy, verse 4. He did so with joy. So number one, he remembered them. 10 years. Since he saw their face. But that memory is a blessed thing. We remember fellow church members who have died and are in glory and who have blessed us. And whose faith we want to follow. But we remember today how fellow church members have been a blessing to us, a word of encouragement, hospitality, thoughtfulness. It must not be at the close of Sunday that out of sight is out of mind. But we must remember one another. And specifically, we must remember how they have been a blessing of God, used of God for me. Then he says, I remember so that in every prayer of mine I make request. I said that's intercessory prayer. He would begin then, based on what he remembered about them, to bring still their particular needs to God in prayer. Lydia, with leading her household, he would intercede. He knew her. He would pray for the Philippian jailer. He knew this man. And when he says, in every prayer of mine, it doesn't mean that in every prayer that he makes, that he's thinking about them. That can't be true. The only one who can do that for us is our Lord Jesus Christ, who remembers us all the time in all of our needs. But he means on a regular basis, frequently, I kept you in my prayers. And then number 3, he says, I do this with joy. He says, I gladly do this. I don't do it grudgingly. I delight to do this. This is our calling for each other. To express our thanks for each other in prayer to God with thanks and intercession and joy. Sometimes we ask, so what can I do in this church? What part do I have in this church? And sometimes we say, my life, I would like to do more, but my life is very busy. And I find myself running around, and I often forget. I often forget these things. And now the Word of God is reminding us of this life of gratitude, and an important part of this gratitude. Yes, to give thanks to God for provisions. Yes, to give thanks to God for His faithfulness. But to give thanks to God for one another with requests for each other. I noticed that with COVID, you still separate your pews. And COVID certainly taught us a lot. And I remember in COVID that the young families would come to the elders after a while, after a few months in which the church was not gathering together, and they would say to the elders, this is not working. Online, at home, we understand it has to be done, that we will submit, we understand that. But this can't be a permanent thing. It's not working in my house for my kids. My kids need to be here. They need to be in the church. After COVID, and when we were able to meet together again, we just felt that. God was so faithful, He gave us to experience that. We need one another. It's not indifferent that in our salvation we belong to a congregation. We need to belong to the congregation. The response then for us must be two things. Well, the response must be one thing. Let us do this. And let us do this for two reasons. Let us give thanks for one another in our prayers. For all of the members. Verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all. Verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. Verse 8. For God is my record how greatly I long after you all. All. Every member. Each child, boy, girl, junior high student, young person, young adult, single, married, aged, the whole body. We get to know each other. We put forth effort to get to know each other. We ask for patience with each other. We ask that we esteem each other better than ourselves. But you say, Pastor, you mean the whole church directory? Well, beloved, we trust the Holy Spirit leads us. So as you have fellowship on Sunday and throughout the week, God brings you to different members of this church and you talk. You talk in the gospel and you talk in your heart. And then the Holy Spirit puts them on your heart. And then you remember them in your prayers. And why must we do this? We must do this because of the darkness of this world. We must do it because it's God's command, because it's for our spiritual good. But there's increased urgency. The world is dark and the devil is out to destroy the church and to divide the church. And in this dark, perishing world, seeking to destroy the church and destroy you, us, I am still a weak, needy sinner. And I need the fellowship of the church. And we do this, secondly, because God has blessed us with each other. He has not sent an angel to you, but He does send your fellow church member to be a means of blessing. Let us give thanks for one another. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for that amazing grace. We pray that Thou wilt forgive us graciously of our sins. And we pray that Thou wilt increase our fellowship and that we may be thankful for each other in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.